Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're gonna reap.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bun, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joel Lewis.
Well, hello to our Blog Talk Radio listeners. You are have joined...
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, okay. Just forget. Good afternoon to all our Blog Talk listeners. We are
Hello.
On the air with my sister, my friend. We have Sister Beverly Beasley, who is our president of Granny's Place. We have Sister Yvonne Gonzalez, and we have Sister Sonara Henderson on the line tonight. We will be talking to these ladies tonight. And Beverly, would you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Good evening. Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. I'm Beverly Beasley, president of Granny's Place. We have Yvonne Gonzalez, founder of the Mary's Project, and we have Sonara Henderson, who is the founder of Ashes to Beauty Ministries. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Thank you, ladies, for introducing yourself. Go ahead, Yvonne, and introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you're doing.
Good evening, ladies. I'm so excited to be here. I know we're in for a great show tonight and just some good conversation. As mentioned, my name is Yvonne Gonzalez, and I'm the founder of the Mary Project. And the Mary Project is basically a program. It's an 8-week program that's designed to empower young mothers through strengthening their parenting skills. This is a ministry that's very close to my heart, just because I was a young mother myself. I, you know, had my daughter when I was 16 years old. And I'm grateful that that's not the end of my story, because the great part of my story is that I wound up being a very successful woman. Now, later on in my life, I'm a chemical engineer. I went to a top engineering university. I'm a top administrator for the government. I've worked in private sector. And the list can go on and on and on, just with all the blessings. So in this, through this program, my heart and my goal is to empower other young mothers, particularly between the ages of about 15 to 21, and just to give them some of the basic parenting skills that I gained through the years in raising my daughter as well as my 5 younger siblings. So it's just a wealth of knowledge, and a lot of it from experience, from other books by psychologists, child psychologists, from Christian ministers, parenting practices that I've gained from my grandmother, my mother, and other elder women in the church that I use as a support system. And I just want to share that, because as young moms, as we all know, teen mothers is on the rise in this country. And I don't know if many people know this, but we're talking about at least 24,000 new young mothers a month in the United States. So you add on 10, 15 years, they're going to be, say, 25, 26 years old with their children in the workforce. So this program has huge implications on our society as well. So I'm just really excited, and I'm excited to talk with the women tonight. I hope we get some good women that call in. Like myself, I'm not alone. There are many other young mothers that are now 10, 15 years later that are successful women and that are making a great impact in their communities and doing a lot of great things. And that's really just the point of the program, just to encourage young mothers and let them know that there's so much that they can do, and really to help them be better parents for their children.
That's very good. That's very good information. Yeah.
Sonara.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Henderson, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about your ministry?
Okay. Well, my name is, good afternoon, good evening, ladies. Let me go ahead and give you a warning. My battery is about to crash on my cell phone. We are stranded in a little situation where we've been stranded for about 3.5 hours, so I have not made it home in order to plug it up. So if you live with me, you would know why. But without further ado, I would just like to say good evening. My name is Sonara Henderson, and I am the founder of Ashes to Beauty Ministries, Incorporated. It is a ministry that deals with many facets of ashes, and our ashes can be anything. It's not just sin. It can be the way we think, the way we were reared, our outlook, and it mostly has to do with a lot of unforgiveness in our heart or the way we have lived that has turned out to not be very beneficial for us. Mine was given to me by God by way of terrible relationships, terrible, awesome, awful marriages, by me not trusting God and going into things of that nature, being a divorced single parent mom of 3 children, being a breast cancer survivor, and the list can go on and on. But as he beautifies me in every area of my life, he has afforded me an opportunity to help give beauty for ashes to many other women. So therefore, we can be Ashes to Beauty. Ashes to Beauty is getting ready to celebrate 4 years of ministry in August, and we are excited, and we're just looking for God to take us higher, higher, and higher in the things of him.
It seems like Ashes to Beauty and the Marriage Project have a lot in common, because both projects are talking about helping women as well as men parenting to be overcomers.
Yes.
To celebrate life and to believe and trust that God can renew you.
Yes.
So both ministries are like they're doing the same thing for helping young mothers understand that although you made this maybe mistake, quote unquote, for some it's not a mistake, but regardless, you can still make changes in your life. So it's really nice that both of you have, God has given you something where you can help women as well as young men understand that they can overcome whatever's happened in their life. They can make changes to it. So that's real good to know that we have people out here that God has given a ministry of this sort to.
Yes. And Sister Benjamin, we do have a couple of live callers on the line.
Great.
Callers, are you there? Would you like to ask a question? Give a comment? Okay, go ahead. With whom are we speaking?
You're speaking to Wendy Thomas. I'm the sister of Devon Gonzalez. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
Hey, Juanita. I just want to
thank you so much for calling.
No, not a problem, sure enough. That's my big sister, and she's been an inspiration in our life, you know, growing up, losing our mom, and, you know, helping raise all our brothers and sisters, you know, and, you know, really an inspiration to me, you know, always there when I need her, you know, to talk to, you know, lift your spirits up and everything, the best sister in the world. You know, not
wonderful.
Just saying it because it's my sister, but she really is a wonderful person, all the good work. You know, with her job and the church and, you know, just with the family, you know, just a good inspiration. So I just wanted to call and, you know, give my support to her on her show.
Are you a mother?
Yep,
are you a young
mother? I was a teenage mom. You know, got my GED. I didn't graduate from high school, but I got my GED. I went to nursing school. I've been working in the medical field for over the last 15 years, you know, and all that
all right.
is just, you know, with the help and inspiration, you know, of my sister just always letting me know that.
How
you know,
did Yvonne's mothering help you to become a better mother for your child?
Because she was always, you know, understanding, you know, willing to teach you to teach the kids, you know what I mean, how to be a good mother, you know what I mean? You know, you see how your mom raised you and everything like that. And certain things you always want to take from your parents, but some things you don't want to take from them, you know, and pass on to your kids. So, you know, just watching her raising her own kid and our brothers and sisters, you know, she was always patient with the kids, you know, not a yeller, talk to you, let you know about, you know, why you're in trouble about you know, whatever situation it was, you was in trouble, you know, just that kind of person to talk to, you know, so the kids would understand, you know, why you're being, you know, punished for this or whatnot, just so they could understand that not just always,
yeah,
you know, it's not all about spanking them and everything like that, to talk to them, you know, so they could understand, you know. Really an inspiration in my life, my big sister, my big little sister. That's what I call her because she's so exciting.
I have a question to you ladies. If, I need everyone to respond to this for me and just tell me what were some of the major obstacles that you all had to get through as you were rearing your children, and how did you cope from day to day while you were doing this?
Well, for me, for myself, I'm just gassing away. But for myself, you know, it was just, it's a hard thing not to have your mother there to, you know, help you raise your kid and everything like that. She passed away when I was only 18 years old. So regardless of how old you get, you know, you always need your mother. And that's how I look at my sister. Even though she's my big sister, I could call her and talk to her about anything. She will never judge me. She will always give me the best advice, you know, and let me know that I'm a strong person, you know, keep, you know, my face up with, you know, when I'm in hard times and hard things are going on in my life, you know. I always call her and, you know, she's just that inspiration to keep me going, you know. Always want to, because she always got a good word for you, no matter what, you know, no matter what I'm going through. Always got a good word for you, you know, and that, you know, just to lift your spirit. She always did that for me.
All right, Sanara?
Yes,
us,
ma'am.
Little answer to that. What were some of the obstacles that you had to go through?
I would
or,
have to say,
what helped you keep going? Huh?
What helped me keep going? A lot of times when people ask me, all three of my daughters are 18 months apart, and a lot of times people would ask me now. I know the teenage years were just terrible with them being so close. And I have to tell them, actually, it wasn't. And that, I think that's why I'm not able to help a lot of people in the teenage years, because when my oldest daughter turned 13, and so that meant the other two were 11, 12, and she was 13, I went to God and asked him, now, Lord, I know these can be terrible years of coming into puberty, you know, and all this and so on and so forth, and peer pressure. And he just told me to do one thing. He said, when they come to you with, you know, with something that they want to do, like maybe go to a house party, go to a dance, or go spend a night with someone, he said, if you would acknowledge me, bring it to me, and ask me if it's my will to let it be done, if it's not, to block it, it'll go through smooth. And when he taught me that, when she turned 13, I still live by it today. Because in other words, when he would touch their hearts to change their mind on where they wanted to go, they couldn't get mad at me for saying no. It would be him changing their mind, or if he made it possible, then that lets me know if it's his will for them to go. And I still live by it today.
Amen. Amen.
So a lot of things that a lot of parents have encountered, I've never encountered.
Okay. So
you know, with the running away from home, hanging out, or the trying this and trying that, I didn't experience that with none of them. I never did. And I still use the principle that he gave me then. I still use it today in my everyday life with anything I encounter. It doesn't matter what it is.
Hey, that was truly a blessing.
Because teenagers use it for trying times.
I have something to say.
Okay, I'm trying to get somebody in. Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Kashava Denmark, and I am Sanara Henderson's, First Lady Sanara Henderson's daughter, oldest daughter.
Woo-hoo.
And
yes.
That said is actually true. And
yes.
There were things that I can honestly say that I haven't experienced, because I guess, but now I understand why, you know, she was going in a bad closet praying to God, and God
yes.
was leading, directing us on what to do. So I didn't experience the smoking and the sneaking out the bedroom window and, you know, all that extra. But, you know, me and my sisters personally, we haven't experienced that. However, we saw friends who went through it. So we saw it, we're like, you know, I still love you, but I don't understand what you're doing. But the way I am, I tell people the way that I was taught, because that's all I know. We as young ladies and young men, we can only share and show with you what we've been through. And if you haven't been through that thing, you really can't talk about that thing except for, you know, but you know, look, what you're doing doesn't sound right. This is what I did. And you have a choice, and that's what it is. Everything is a choice. You choose to get up in the morning when you walk out that door. You're making choices as to which way to go, whether left or right, right or wrong. And you have to, you know, consequences or rewards, you know, you have to be able to handle that. But if you do fall into a stumbling block, you need, the best thing to do is learn from it. So going forward, you don't make the same mistake again, you know. So that's just how I see things.
So do you find it, did you find it hard to be obedient to your parent and just do the things that whoever was showing you this way, did you find it hard to follow their ways, or did you think they were wrong, or what was your concept on it?
My concept on everything, when my mom became a single parent with three children, I became mom number two. So whatever mom said, that's, you know, we went with that. So if mom was at work, I was mom number two. I was the second mom in charge. So my sisters did what I did because I did what mama did. And whatever mama said, that's what went. What mama say, that's what goes. And, I mean, I guess I never really paid attention to my childhood. I'm sure I had one, but I was so focused on, you know, protect my sisters at all costs. Protect my sisters at all costs. You know, I put me on the back burner to make sure they have what they need because mama's at work working hard. And when she come home, you know, she's going to talk to us. She's going to look at our homework, this and that. So what I need to make sure is we all had our bags. We all got our homework done, and that's that. So as we got older, even though I ventured out to sports and things like that, I still kept that mom number two up close. So while I'm trying to be a kid and have fun, I'm still being mom number two because I'm looking at my sister and saying, you know better than that. Now, don't you do that. Oh, you know I'm going to let mama know. You know, things like that. And my sisters, they still, to this day, laugh at me. They're like, you know what? All right, mama. You're going to be our sister. You're going to be our mom. I'm working on that, girl. I'm working on that, you know. Work with me now. Work with me now. But it wasn't until she became married, this time to Pastor Henderson, that I saw that I can drop that mom number two hat.
Yeah. That the deliverance came to the whole household.
It's Kashava. Okay. I'm a terrible woman, but when I'm with my dad, I like to have fun like a kid.
Okay.
Like
All right. Well, we have some other callers that have joined us, callers that have not spoken to us. Would you come in and give us some information or tell us what your question is or just give us a comment?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm
we can
First
hear
Lady
you.
Henderson. Okay, I'm First Lady Henderson's middle daughter, Portiana Johnson.
Okay.
Now y'all gonna really hear the truth now.
Oh God.
You
hello.
Hello. Hey, I was just calling to let her know that I was listening in.
Okay.
All right. That is my middle daughter who just got married May 19th.
Yes.
That is the newly Mrs. Johnson.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Go right ahead. We are so
thank
happy
you for listening in, baby.
Did she have any
thank
questions for me?
Yes.
Do you have any questions for me?
Well, my question to you.
Now y'all gonna hear the truth.
The same question that I asked your sister. How was it hard for you to, since your mom was just a single parent and she raised you all together, was it hard for you to cope with that, or did you have issues with, or were you one of the rebellious children, or was it any rebellion in any of you all?
No, we weren't rebellious because we knew we needed to go to sleep at night. You know? you want to run away, you leave, don't come back, and don't go to her parents' house. So we did what Mom said. If Mama say no, Mama say no is the reason, and we just, you know, kept it moving. But me and my sisters, you know, sometimes it was, we too close in age. But then there were times that it was good because we went through school together. I knew somebody in school. I had somebody to walk us, you know, to walk to school with. It wasn't just a big gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most siblings, just like maybe a 4 or 5 year gap. And, you know, and that's even harder to me, the ones that are 4 or 5 years apart. But it's been 18 months apart. We were able to go to each other about certain things. And, you know, we were able to prepare each other for certain things that would happen or, you know, talk to each other about certain things. So it wasn't bad. Only time it was like maybe if I wanted to go to my friend's house and I didn't want my younger sister to go, that may have been all the time. But other than that, it was like her friends were my friends, but to a certain extent.
Okay. Yvonne, my question to you would be, did you have any problems with rebellion or disobedience with your siblings that you had to handle? Was there any problems with you and them?
As I was raising them?
Yes.
Lashondra, as I was raising them? Okay. Yes and no. Yes in that, I mean, they went through all the normal things that, you know, that kids tend to go through. As far as, you know, they usually get to that age right around 10 where your eyes open up and you kind of realize, hey, you know, my friends are a little bit more important. And then, you know, they hit their teenage years where all the kids were very active. I made sure that they were involved in sports and they did well in school and, you know, they had all these different activities. But, I mean, it definitely got to the point where right around 16 or 17 or 18, you know, they all started to feel themselves at different, in various ways, the boys and the girls. And that was a great parenting experience for me, even just with boys, realizing, and I don't know if a lot of moms realize this, that boys go through puberty as well. It's just masked differently. And if you're a single mom with boys, that can be challenging. And one of the things that that I did and a practice that I encouraged through the program as well is to actually find strong men, men of good character, who can help you and kind of act as a big brother in support of that younger man. Because unfortunately, as a woman, no matter how hard you try, you are not going to understand what they're going through. And I just don't mean like, you know, sexual issues. I mean, just even just their emotional makeup, because they're emotional as well. I remember with my younger brother, who was a football player, and he was in football and he was basketball and doing well in school and just, you know, all around popular kid in the school, and the teachers loved him. But, you know, as he started to deal with girls and the opposite sex, and although technically he wasn't ready and the girls were running after him, you know, it was challenging at times to help him or to relate to him so that to let him know that I'm here, that I'm someone he can talk to. So what I did was and, you know, we had devotionals, and I had a one-on-one time with each one of the kids. And so during our hangout time, what he and I would do is, you know, because boys usually, they don't talk like women. Like, we could sit around, and we could talk about a pair of shoes all day. We could talk about how awesome the shoes were, how they made us feel. We could talk about, you know, the sun and the moon. But guys aren't like that. So what I did was, through the advice of a brother and a very close friend of mine in my church, he said, well, do something with him that he likes to do. So I said, well, what do you like to do? So we would spend about an hour playing basketball, playing a game called horse. But we put a little twist on it. I put a twist on it. So for every basketball that I made, every basket that I made, he would have to basically tell me something, talk about something that was going on in his life that he would probably never share with me. And I couldn't make any comment. I just had to take it. And so, you know, through this game, it was a way for us to communicate, and it got to the point where he would just naturally communicate. So although they did rebel at different points, it was easy. It wasn't hard. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, there was some challenges, but it wasn't too difficult because the communication had been there. And that's really the key for when kids are going through that stage.
Okay. Tanara, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me? Okay. Okay.
I can't.
Did you have any male figures in your girls' lives for them to look up to, or did you have any brothers that influenced them as to how a man is supposed to treat ladies, or, you know, just any male figures in their lives?
Well, we had my father, and then plus we were very active. We were active in churches as we are today. So between the church, my dad, and the first 10 years of their dad's and our divorce, they spent every weekend with him at every holiday. I didn't start spending holidays with my children until 93. So for 10 years, and I did that on purpose because I wanted them to know their father. Whether it be good, bad, or ugly, he's still your father. And so they went to him every weekend, every holiday. Even if it was St. Patrick's Day, it did not matter. And I did that, like I said, on purpose, that if you saw the back of him going down the street, they would knew that that was their dad.
Did you have any fear when you allowed them to go and hang out with their dad? Were you afraid, or did you trust him? How did you handle that?
I was never afraid, not one time. Because I think that would show that I wasn't for them to spend 10 years of every weekend and every holiday. So, no, I was never afraid because their dad and I always had an understanding. We might not be together, but when they're with you, whatever they do at my house is what he would support at his house. Now, they may have seen a different person every weekend, but I told the girls, what you do, you respect her and treat her just like me. It's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to her, no different, no less. And I actually taught them that.
And
that's what we did.
Thing. Yes. To show them they have to have respect for whomever their other parent is with, no matter what happens, right? Okay. Okay. Beverly, did you have any questions? You're mighty quiet over there.
No, I'm just listening.
You just listen? Do you have a comment?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
Well, I like the comment. I think it's key, if I can, I like the comment on what Sanara said, that, you know, just going back to young mothers, she brought up a good point, that although her children, the dad was separate, you know, she told them, hey, look, you still need to respect him and whoever's there. And, you know, like, again, like I said, since young mothers are so close to my heart, just very basic things like that are not, you know, you have to be taught that, because unfortunately with a lot of the young women that are out here, you know, they'll have a baby by one guy, and that may not necessarily be the child of their second father. The father of their second child. Or they could just be in a situation where it's just that one mother. I mean, you know, it's just that one gentleman, but now he's moved on. And so that much, because they're young, born on both sides, a lot of times that maturity isn't there. So just for something as simple as that with rearing your child, like teaching them to respect, you know, the other person that's in that person's life and trying to build that trust. So that's a very good point, Nara. But for, you know, a lot of times for young parents, that's not because of the lack of maturity, you know, and also, you know, depending on where they are, then, you know.
Okay. Well, Yvonne, do you have that in your program where you have a class to teach the young mothers how to make their children be respectful, like something like parenting or some examples or something like that in your curriculum?
Yes, we actually do talk about that. We talk about it in a couple different ways because as the women go through the program, it's really just about self-awareness for them. So they grow. They get basic parenting skills on, you know, different ways of disciplining, you know, from spanking a child to talking to a child to using other methods as far as timeout and things like that. But then also there's a time where they get to journal. and they get to actually talk about their life and what's going on in their personal life. Because for all mothers, and this is where the program could really go across to all women of all ages, especially as moms, is that we have to take time to self-assess. Because if we don't, then we can't really be good parents. And that's at any age. So, yes, to answer your question, there is, you know, there is a part where we talk about, you know, how to get your child to respect you, and then also how to work with the other parent. So we do address that.
Did you, when you were raising your siblings, what were some of the pitfalls that you had in that aspect of chastising and making sure they understood what you wanted them to understand?
Well, that's a great question. One of the biggest lessons I think for me was learning each one of my children, I call them all my children, but my sibling children and my actual birth child, was learning their personalities and learning really what worked for them. Because not every child, and I mean, again, this is a across the board parenting lesson for all parents, regardless of age, but not every child can be disciplined the same way. You have one child, like one of my kids, they hated spankings. So you could just threaten a spanking. Just the thought of getting a spanking or the threat of a spanking was like, it was just earth-shattering. But then there was another child where, you know, no, you have to execute, because if you did not, then the kid would just, you know, go crazy. And then, there was another kid where spankings didn't work at all, and what I had to do was get creative and pretty much take things away. You know, and learn that, you know, this child doesn't like, or like this child doesn't like to be alone. So I would excommunicate the child from the family for a certain amount of time, not from the family, but like if we were all having dinner, then she would have to go and eat dinner alone in her room. Oh, she hated that. That was worse than anything. That was, you know, and the whole idea behind disciplining and how you choose to do it is to really get at the heart of the child so that they'll understand that either that behavior or the heart behind that behavior was incorrect. And so, yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing, I think, for me. Once I was able to learn each one of my kids and what made them tick and really understand, okay, well, why are they going after doing that thing, then I was able to help chastise them better, as opposed to just the traditional, you know, yelling, screaming, spanking, grounding for 6 months or whatever, you know, but really make it more effective.
Okay. Well, that sounds really marvelous. I see a lot of children today that are very unruly. They don't know how to act in public. And the parents seem to think that it is cute. And
it is not.
That's very embarrassing to me because
it is.
The old school. You know, you gonna act like in public, or else something gonna happen to you. But I've heard a lot of mothers say that they don't discipline their children by spanking. And you know, the Bible says, "Spare the rod, you spoil the child."
What would you say
to that? I understand that, you know, you have to learn the kid and he has to be disciplined in a way that, you know, that would be effective. But these parents today, what would you suggest to them and when they just don't know what to do with them?
Well, here's the thing, and you're absolutely right, because I've had friends who have had full-blown arguments with me. Let me start by saying this. I do believe children need to be spanked at some point in time. Okay, I just want to put that out there. And here's the reason why. The biggest part of that is because during the developmental years, which is the years of 0 to 5, that's when a parent has the most influence over their child. Okay? There's all kind of studies that have shown this, X, Y, and Z. And that's usually that time where the kid, you know, you're in the supermarket and you see someone's kid screaming out, they're yelling out on the floor, they're rolling around on the ground. You know, there's all these other studies that say, oh, you know, if you use corporal punishment on a child, it it weakens their self-esteem. They don't know their identity. I mean, there's all these different other kind of studies. And I don't mean to belittle those studies because they do offer some findings. But what's most effective is really a combination of both. And that's where, and like anything, it's really a middle of the road. It's like, okay, you have to set up, okay, under what circumstances are you going to use corporal punishment and what circumstances you're going to use others. I share this all the time, and I'm sorry, hello?
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening. We're listening.
Okay, no, I share this all the time in that with my own children, you know, they knew that there were set things that you were automatically going to get a spanking for. If you lied to me, you were going to get a spanking. If you were disrespectful to an adult in authority over you, you were going to get a spanking. Okay? So they just knew it. There was no surprise. It wasn't like, oh, man, we're getting spanked for this and we never get spanked for this. It was just clear. And so they grew up with a system, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word. And I know it may sound very organized and very orderly, and that's really what I do promote, because I think if it's done properly, then kids, it's not as traumatic. You know, if a kid is just being whacked for no reason, then, you know, it's this whole traumatic experience. But, you know, again, my kids, they were good. You know, I mean, they knew I practiced the look. I got that from my mother because they knew I was going to follow through. They knew that if you didn't stop at the look, we were going to take a trip to the back of the store, to the bathroom, and somebody would be hearing you screaming in the bathroom, you know, like, so they knew. So that way they knew when they were in the supermarket, there was no falling out. And when I said no, no was no. And I think that's what's a big part of the problem is that, you know, kids are allowed to do whatever, and the parents, there's no follow-through. Parents really aren't parenting. And that's all parents across the board. I've seen it with, you know, older, upscale, you know, wealthy parents as well, where they'll just let their kids kind of do whatever, and there's no limit. Kids need limits. They need it. They beg for it.
All right. That sounds like a winner to me, because I believe that children should be disciplined to mm-hmm. whatever measure it takes to get them to understand that, mm-hmm. like you said, you got to have respect. You've got to act good in public. You can't be out, you know, clowning your parent in public. That's just one of my pet peeves, and I'm not going to go there right now. But callers, I'm going to give you the number if you would like to call, 310-982-4126. We'll take your call tonight with any questions that you may have. That number again is 310-982-4126. We're talking to Ms. Yvonne Gonzalez and Sister Beverly Beasley. I think we've lost Sonara Henderson and her daughters, I'm believing. So, But we are here to answer your question. Any questions that you might have? You still here?
I'm still here. This is our oldest daughter. I'm still on.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Do you have any more comments or questions of Yvonne about the program or anything that she said?
I mean, I think the program, Mary Project Program, for the 8 weeks, I think that is a wonderful thing. It puts you, you know, when you watch that 16 and pregnant and teen mom,
mm-hmm.
when my husband and I sit there and watch that, we always ask the question, if you notice they never show any of those teenagers going through any type of program to teach them, to prepare them for what's really to take place. And we just
mm-hmm.
found it odd, you know, you will put this out there, but not once have you showed that these young ladies and young men can actually get assistance to prepare them versus leaving them. You know, yes, they did something wrong, but don't let it seem like they just have to, you're wrong, and they just said, so they're just going to suffer. No, show something with a program like this, Marriage Project Program. Show, you know, where they can learn, you know, prepare themselves, because you don't see that, and what you see on that show is what you see actually out there every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that every day.
Every day, yes. And Kashava, why don't you share with us about some of the kids that you encounter and their discipline habits at the school that you are affiliated with or and tell us how do they handle that those problems at school. What do you see most of the problem is with these kids today?
Most of the problems that I see with the kids today in the school system and in my particular school is that their level of understanding is the level of what their parents' understanding is, as well as they know they can go so far without being touched. And going so far is like what you all stated earlier. They know what their look is, and they'll stop. Well, the type of students that we deal with, you can make that look, but they already know that's just a fake. So I know I can still push it. And at the end of the day, while you blowing the fuse and your blood pressure is rising and you about to pass out, they're walking around laughing because I'm unstoppable. You can't touch me because I got this. You march to my beat versus they march to our beat. And it's not like you all were talking about the word, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child and everything like that, the rod of correction. I'm a firm believer in whoopology. I believe that. I really do.
What you call it?
Whoopology. I believe in that. I by it. And I also understand what Mrs. Gonzalez was saying, was that not everything needs to be a whooping. However, with the type of children that we're dealing with, since we know we can't put our hands on them, we still need to do like one of those scared straight moments, because it's 1, 2, 3 and you're out isn't working, because the kids know it better than you and they already know you're not going to do anything. And it's so hard because it affects them in their classwork and beyond. And if we can't grab them now, and then when the parents come, and once you see the parents, it's like, oh, my God, now we know why. And the dialect and the grammar is all off base, and they're working the neck, and you can't tell me this, and you can't tell me that. And when you're showing proof and facts, they'll turn around and throw the blame game on you, and it's the cohesiveness. If it starts at the top and work its way down, like everybody, like the food, you know, like the circle of life, everybody has to play their part. And when we mess up, trust and believe, the kids know that, and they will act upon that, and they will play us like a puppet.
Okay. Yes, that is correct. So so we're in agreement with Yvonne that it starts at home. The discipline that they need, it should begin at the house. And if they don't know anything about discipline, so how can they teach their child to be disciplined? So that's where Yvonne's program would come in very well, to help these young mothers, to teach them, you know, about discipline and how to, you know, raise your kid in the proper manner, so that when they're out in school or at the movies or at playgrounds, everywhere, that they would know how to act. And they would know that there are consequences for the things that they do. Because I'm a firm believer that there are consequences. If you act up, there's a consequence that you need to suffer. I see we have a couple of more callers coming in. Hello, caller. Would you like to have a word, ask a question, introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Lady Henderson. I'm back on the line.
Okay, I got you.
Welcome back.
The last one we have out there that hasn't said anything. So would you like to speak up, caller?
Yes. Hi, my name is Keisha Cannonito. I'm actually a friend of Yvonne's. Hey.
Hey.
Yvonne is
Hey, Keisha. How are you doing? I'm glad
good.
You called.
How are you? Yes,
okay.
The program is awesome. It's so awesome. I've been loving everything that you ladies have been discussing. I also have experience working with children of different ages in the school system here in New York City. And I agree with that that last young lady that was just speaking about just dealing with kids in the school system, and that when you meet the parents, she is so right. You see like where the kids get their attitude from. And that's not to say that every kid that acts up has a bad parent. That's not what I'm saying, because I know that there are some parents out there that are trying the best that they can, but their kids are being influenced by the street. So, you know, we take that into consideration. But I do believe, just from my experience in working with kids as a counselor, that a lot of kids, I mean, kids, you know, mimic what they see in the home. And everything does start in the home, I believe. My mother, my grandmother was very big on home training. You know, that's not a term you hear too much these days. But it is so important to understand the value of home training, because how you prepare your kids at home is what they're going to take out into the world, you know, and I do believe that the world is a reflection of each and every individual family and how they are raising their children and introducing them and bringing them into the world. I, for example, I think with young women especially, if they see their mothers who are dating men or involved with men and these men disrespect them and mistreat them, a lot of times they're going to mimic that behavior in relationships with boys that they get involved with, because I know there's this big thing nowadays with physical abuse amongst teens and relationships.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I know that's a very big thing that's on the rise, where a lot of, you know, boys are beating on the girls and vice versa, but especially the boys beating on the girls. And where do you think the girls are getting that from? If they're seeing that in the home where daddy or the boyfriend or the stepdad or whoever is disrespecting the mother, cursing her out, mistreating her, you know, in a sense, psychologically, on a subconscious level, she's internalizing this as, I guess this is okay.
Okay.
Because I see this going on at home. Do you understand? So you know, parents need to be that example. It's not just what you say, but it's what you do that impacts your child's life.
Amen. Very good. Well, ladies, we are about to wind down on this conversation we're having. It is so marvelous, and thank you all for calling and joining in with us. And I want each of my guests to go ahead and give me what you would advise our young ladies to do in whichever manner that you feel appropriate to tell them about helping to raise their kids and helping to take care of themselves or whatever you would encourage them to do, because that's what we want to do with this program. We want to encourage our young ladies or any person who's having problems rearing their children or going through things that in life that we can help them with. So I would like each of you to give me a 2-minute encouragement, starting with Sister Henderson.
Okay, well, ladies, I am back. I've made it home, and I'm plugged up to juice, and I'm back. as I point out, ashes to beauty just stem from many levels of ashes that I myself personally had to deal with by my own reasoning and my own choosing. And as you guys are talking about, you ladies are talking about the youth in the school, well, guess what? If it's not corrected before now, one day they will grow up to be young ladies and women with ashes. And
that's
someone
right.
such as myself and any other lady who's been delivered in any area of her life by the power of the Holy Ghost through the Word and through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to need to know how to get back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Or not just get back, or get there for the very first time. Because he's the only one that can save, heal, deliver, and set free. Not just how to rear a child, but how to even be fit to be a parent.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Amen.
Sometimes this comes upon us, maybe we weren't ready, but actually when we did the act, we were chancing every consequence. And the consequence of our actions resulted in another human being. Is it doable? Yes. Can it be done? Yes. Can we live victorious lives? Yes, we can. But nothing ventured, nothing gained, and how bad do you want it? Because the help is available.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Through the power of the Word.
Thank you.
Through the power of the Word, through my sister, my friend, Project Mary, Ashes of Beauty, and your local churches. Help is available.
All right. Thank you, Lady Henderson. Keshava?
Yes?
Go ahead and give us some encouraging words to the ladies.
Oh. Well.
Well. Okay. Well. You know, let's go ahead with Yvonne. Yvonne?
Huh? Okay, I'm here, Yvonne. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
the ladies tonight.
What I would say to particularly the young mothers, all mothers out there, but again, the young mothers, what I would say is that, you know, you've already done the hard part. The hard part was deciding to keep the child. The hard part was deciding to, okay, I'm going to carry this baby for 9 months, and then after I carry the child for 9 months, I'm gonna be its parent. I'm going to be its mama. I'm going to be the one to take care of it. So that part is already, that was the hard part. And now you're in part two. And what I would encourage the young women with is that they're not alone. You know, if there's anything, is that you're not alone. There's so many other women out there. You know, God is there, of course, always listening and wanting and waiting. But you know what? Sometimes we're not at that point. Sometimes we're not at that point to go to God directly. So you know what? We have to go to God through someone else. Through someone else that God has put in our lives. And that's the thing that I want to encourage the young women with, is that this is not just your problem. You're not alone. I think seek out other people who can help you. The Mary Project is just one arm for the young people out there that's listening, and even the not so young that are listening. Please, if you're on Facebook, go to the Mary Project. We have a Facebook page now. Like the page. You can definitely post questions, message me questions, or any concerns or anything that you want to see the Mary Project deal with, or if you want the Mary Project to come to maybe your area, you get, you know, 10 of your friends together that are all in the same situation. We'll come and put on the program there to just kind of help and to, you know, give you a way out or a way to get help. So that would be the biggest thing that I would encourage a lot of the young mothers with, is just to seek help, not to feel like they have to do it by themselves, that they're the only ones. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for families. Because oftentimes families don't understand. That's why you have a lot of young mothers that end up out on the street. They end up homeless because their parents are disappointed. Their family members are disappointed. You know, this is Mookie's third child and she's always doing this, or she's always running, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, sometimes you can't find it in your family, and sometimes you have to open your arms to allow other people to kind of help you. So please, you know, I would just encourage them. They've already done the hard part. And that hard part was deciding to keep that child. And no situation is too great for God. You know, whether you believe that or not, I believe that. So because I believe that, I will encourage you with that and let you know that you are not alone. That would be the biggest thing I would say.
Okay. Thank you so much. Ms. New York, are you still there?
Yes. Yes,
go
I'm
ahead.
Here.
Give us a word of encouragement.
I guess the only thing that I can say or would say would be to definitely pray for guidance and seek role models. I would say, like, if you're a young mother, seek role models in maybe older, mature mothers, or just, you know, women who you see doing a great job with their kids. And we see that. We see great parents around us, and sometimes we can be a little afraid or intimidated or embarrassed or ashamed to ask for help, you know, because we don't want to look bad. We don't want to look like, well, we don't know what we're doing. But, you know, if anything, that I think has always been the history of wise parenting, is to learn from the previous generation, you know, who was there before us, who, you know, you learn from grandma and from mama, learn from your aunts. I mean, but really people who you see are great examples. Like, you see how their children are. You see how well their children are functioning, how they're doing in school, how they're doing in their social life, you know, just how they're progressing. And when you see that, that's definitely the mark of good parenting, when you see how their children are turning out. So I would just suggest for young mothers to look for those examples in their community, be it at church, maybe within their families, neighbors, you know, look for those examples. Try and, you know, don't be afraid to ask for advice.
For
like, you know, I see that little Johnny is doing so well in school, and he's getting good grades. And, you know, I'm just wondering, like, what are you doing with him? How are you encouraging him? Or how are you, you know what I mean, how are you motivating him to want to do so well in school? And not be afraid. I think that would be my best advice.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. Beverly, do you have any words of encouragement while we're winding down? Beverly? Oh, she's gone. Okay, well, is there anybody else that would like to come in or have a question before we end this program? Hello?
I would like to say thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let you wind the program down with a prayer, and would you give us your information where you can be reached for Ashes to Beauty? Yvonne has already given us her information where she can be reached with the Marriage Project. I want to say that we are Granny's Place, and I am the president of the Shane Hart Mentoring Program, and if you go to our website, grannysplace.org, you can reach us. But I would like to close with a closing prayer by Ashes to Beauty founder, Sister Sanara Henderson.
Okay. Ashes to Beauty, I could be contacted at area code 214-533-1534, and that's 24/7, literally. Again, that number is area code 214-533-1534. The spiritual side of the program, I am available to speak at women conferences and retreats, as I already have been doing and have done for quite a few years. I am available to come and even support. I don't have to just participate or be the speaker. I am more than willing to come along beside anyone to be there as a supporter to anyone that's working in the ministry or in what they believe that God has called them to do. And on the natural side, the name of the resource center that we're hoping to open before the first of the year is the New You Resource Center. So God has given us a spiritual side as well as a natural side. And without further ado, I would do what I'm asked to do right before we close. And as we just want to say, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity for all these powerful and awesome women of God to come together on this line and to share our experiences of how you've blessed us to make it over and how you're still making overcomers out of us. And we just want to say thank you. We thank you for the fellowship with my sister and my friend and the Mary Project, along with Granny's Place, as well as Ashes of Beauty, and every call and every person that's listening on the line. We pray favor upon each and every one of us in our households, our ministries, our jobs, our lives, our marriages, our children, and our children's children. We thank you that when you move, you just don't move on our behalf. You move on the behalf of everything and everybody that's attached to us. So, God, for that, we say thank you. I ask that you would bless every ministry and every person on this line, listening in, talking, have shared, desire to be on. God, just move by your spirit in our lives. Continue to shape and mold us to be the women of God in which you have called us to be. And for that, we say thank you. And we bless your holy and divine name. And we thank you once again. And we ask that you take my sister, my friend, and take it higher and higher in the things of you and to reach the women in which you've already predestined for it to reach, oh God. And we thank you. We ask that you bless Chandra and Miss Beasley, and take them. Only you know where you can take them. And we bless your name. It's in the strong name of Jesus we do pray. Thank God. And amen.
Amen.
All right. I would love to thank you ladies for calling in and participating with us tonight. I want to let all the listeners and callers know that we'll be on next Monday night at 8 o'clock, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We welcome you to call in and talk to us, ask us questions. We'll be on the same topic next week. We'll just dig a little deep into it. And we admonish you. Tell your friends to call us. Let us call with some problems or with some questions that they have for us that we might be able to help our sister. That's the reason why our program is named My Sister, My Friend, because we want to be available for our sisters. We want to be their friends. We want to help them. We want to lift them up. We want to give them encouragement. We want to show them that we love them. And there is somebody out there that really cares about their well-being, that really cares about how we can help. And if we need to give them resources, you ladies can give them the resources that you know about or some referrals, because we all can help in one way or the other. We all, if you can't do it, somebody else can do it. If somebody else can't do it, we all can chip in and help one another, okay? So thank you again, ladies, for participating. And give us a call again on next Monday from 8 to 9 o'clock at 310-982-4126. I have been your host, Sister LaShondra Lewis from Granny's Place and the President Director of the Shane Hart Mentoring Program. Much love to you. Y'all have a great evening and a better tomorrow. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you all tomorrow.
Bye.
All right. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.